Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Tara Nielsen, an obstetrician at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Today, we're talking about the importance of RSV vaccination in pregnancy. And we are so excited to start this podcast with Sarah Winders, an epidemiologist from Tennessee Department of Health, and Dr. Jen Thompson, MFM at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. This is going to be a two-part series. We will follow it up in the second part with Bethany Sanders, a certified midwife at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Andrea Hewitt is both a practicing doula and owner of East Nashville Doulas will be joining us, as well as Dr. Kate Carlson, a pediatrician at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. And then to wrap up the series, we will hear from Dr. Itoy Garrison, a maternal fetal medicine specialist at Vanderbilt, and she also serves as the Director of Community Engagement and Population Health at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Welcome, everybody. Let's start with Sarah. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and why RSV prevention is important to you?
Absolutely. Be happy to. So my name is Sarah Winders. I'm an epidemiologist at the Tennessee Department of Health, and I serve as the Deputy Director of Vaccine Preventable Disease Surveillance. And from my perspective, RSV is really important because we can see from a population level through the data the impact that it has on families in our healthcare system each season. From that public health population level perspective, we can see that it really drives a lot of hospitalizations and emergency department visits, especially among our littlest littles, and it can be serious for them as well. So paying attention to this virus and this disease helps us focus prevention efforts, like vaccines and monoclonal antibodies, on the groups that need them most.
Awesome. Thank you. Can you give us a little bit more background on what RSV rates look like in Tennessee and how susceptible young children are to RSV?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that RSV is just an incredibly common disease in early childhood. By the time infants reach their first birthday, about two-thirds have already been infected at least once. And by the age of two, that number climbs to 97%. So almost every young child encounters RSV early in their life. And we also know that during the peak parts of the season in Tennessee, more than one in every 10 emergency department visits among children under five were for RSV.
Can you comment a little bit on when is peak season for RSV?
Typically, we see it start around October of the year and peak there in the winter months and come down by February, March of every year. That has shifted throughout time as the COVID pandemic did change a lot of the normal circulating respiratory viruses and their typical circulation.
Thank you. Those numbers are staggering. I wanted to jump to Dr. Kate Carlson. I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but it's nice to have you here. As a pediatrician in Tennessee, can you speak to what is RSV? What does that look like for little ones?
Sure. So I have been a practicing pediatrician for 18 years. I've been in Tennessee for the last 16 of those years. And every winter I have, with the exception of the year of COVID and the year immediately after that, I have taken care of countless babies with RSV. And every year we have a number of babies who show up who are very, very ill from this. So RSV can have a pretty wide range of clinical presentations, what the babies look like when they come in sick. But in general, infants the way we describe it to the parents is that RSV causes a cold in you or me, but it causes what stays in the nose in a baby, excuse me, in a parent, goes actually down into the lungs of the young baby. And so babies get bronchiolitis with RSV. So typically we will see them coming in, their lower airways are inflamed, and it will look, it will present as a baby who is working, they may have a fever. They are often very congested in the nose. No amount of suction can get that out. But then they also have this very noisy breathing that will sound, we'll almost say it'll sound like Velcro. Like and they, when we listen to the chest, they'll be not aerating their lungs very well. They're just not getting the oxygen down into their lungs. And so they can be bobbing their heads, sucking down at just the notch at the top of their sternum, sucking in between their belly, breathing fast with their belly, and grunting. So, they'll be making that sound. And when we hear that, that is when we always tell parents, if you're hearing that, that's a sign that you need to go to the emergency room right away. And every winter, our phone nurses get phone calls like that, or we see kids like that in our that present to our clinic.
Thank you for that description. It's very scary, it sounds like. Can you just comment too, are there any treatments for RSV?
Unfortunately, there are no medications that make RSV go away faster. Immunocompetent child. There are supportive measures that we do essentially. So when infants have a significant amount of lower airway inflammation and can't oxygenate their blood as well, we provide them supplemental oxygen, either in the form of nasal prongs or face mask. For kids whose lungs get stiff from the virus and the mucus fluffing that happens, they have a really hard time actually breathing. So sometimes we have to put babies on CPAP or BiPAP. That's a type of non-invasive support for ventilation. Or sometimes we even have to intubate these babies to help them be able to oxygenate their lungs while they can't really open up their lungs against that, against all of the mucus that they have in their lungs at that time. Typically, we have to support those babies for a period of time, and then we wait for the body to heal.
So if I'm hearing you right, they're really, other than supportive care, there's really no sort of treatment for this condition. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So stressing the importance of prevention. Thank you, Dr. Carlson. I wanted to next jump to Dr. Jen Thompson, who is a high-risk maternal-fetal medicine physician here at Vanderbilt, and she takes care of lots of high-risk pregnancies. So Dr. Thompson, can you just kind of comment on, I guess, what that involves and also your background? I know you also serve on some national committees and are well-versed with this topic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. I have been a subspecialist in maternal fetal medicine now for over a decade, and taking care of patients with high-risk pregnancies includes both patients that have a history of maternal medical conditions that make their pregnancies more complicated, as well as those who have had difficult obstetric outcomes in the past, such as preeclampsia or preterm deliveries. And then taking care of pregnancies where the fetus or the baby has complications that need some closer monitoring throughout the course of pregnancy. And this can include things like birth differences or fetal growth restriction. And we just keep closer eye and higher surveillance and sometimes some more monitoring for these moms that have pregnancies that are a bit more complicated. I definitely have an interest in infectious diseases that started back in my fellowship time, and currently serve on the Executive Council for the Infectious Diseases Society of Obstetrics and Gynecology, as well as some additional committees through the American College of OBGYN, the AAP, and through Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine.
Now, do you personally recommend that moms get vaccinated during pregnancy?
Absolutely. I am a strong advocate for vaccines in pregnancy. Something that I usually start talking about with patients early in their pregnancies and kind of the anticipatory guidance of what we're going to be discussing as pregnancy goes on. But absolutely, it's the one thing that we can do to help prevent illnesses in babies, and for some, such as COVID vaccine and influenza vaccine, help protect mom against severe infection as well.
Great, thank you. Can you speak to what is available for moms?
Sure. For RSV prevention, we have an RSV vaccine that is available that is under the trade name Abrysvo. This is a vaccine that is a protein-based vaccine that helps your body develop antibodies against the pre-fusion F protein on the RSV virus and helps your body build immunity. And then when your body's building that immunity, your body makes those antibodies, and those antibodies cross the placenta and help protect baby by integrating into baby's bloodstream and provide protection for baby up to 6 months after delivery.
So just to clarify, it's really not for moms to be protected against RSV, but it's really for our mom's baby through vertical transmission. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
So it's almost like she's making her antibodies and she's going to give those mama antibodies to her baby.
That is correct. Yes. By getting the vaccine in pregnancy, she makes those antibodies. Those antibodies cross the placenta, protect baby, and give baby that protection after baby's born.
Can you just speak to the safety and efficacy of this vaccine?
Absolutely. It is a relatively new vaccine, but the safety data that we have has shown that there's no significant concerns for risks associated with maternal vaccination. When we've looked at kind of what are the most common reported reactions that pregnant individuals have, most are mild and include things like pain at the site of the injection, headache, muscle pain, and sometimes nausea. And this is very consistent with kind of side effects of other vaccines. And oftentimes, a lot of these side effects have to do with your immune system revving up, seeing that vaccine and helping to make those antibodies. When we've looked at kind of large randomized controlled trials, as well as surveillance since the vaccine has come out, we found no significant association between the vaccine and adverse outcomes such as hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, stillbirth, birth differences, placental abruption, which is where that placenta prematurely separates from the side of the uterus, or babies not growing as well. And initially, when the vaccine first came out, some patients may have heard about a possible concern about earlier deliveries associated with the vaccine. But in two studies since that the vaccine came out, we found that there's no significant increase in preterm delivery when the vaccine is administered in the gestational age range that we recommend, that 32 to 36 weeks.
Awesome. Can you just highlight again the timeline? When are moms eligible for this? Specifically, is it all the time? Is there a certain, you mentioned gestational age?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is given during the RSV season. And so for pregnant patients, we give that between September and January. And patients need to be between 32 and 36 weeks. The reason we do it between September and January is that, as we've talked about, is when RSV season is. And for pregnant patients, we want at least 2 weeks from the time that they receive the vaccine to delivery to have the full effect of those antibodies. And we know that kind of the seasonality of RSV season falls October to February. So by starting in September, we're able to have those babies protected when they're born in that early part of RSV season.
Thank you. Dr. Carlson, I was going to jump back to you. Dr. Thompson did a great job of kind of describing what's available for moms. Can you, and how we prevent RSV for those little ones through vertical transmission, can you comment a little bit more on what's available for infants, babies, if mom maybe didn't have the option of the RSV vaccine during pregnancy or elected not to receive it?
Sure. Thanks for asking. We actually do have a product, which is a preformed antibody called a monoclonal antibody to RSV that protects infants. So it's called, there's actually a couple of different options that are available. One is called nirsevimab, brand name is Beyfortus. That's the most widely used one. There's also another newer product called Clesrovimab. They're both monoclonal antibodies that can be given by injection. They have a duration of about 5 months, so very similar of time of efficacy as the maternal antibodies. And that can be given actually as soon as the child is born. So there are some hospitals that can give it in the nursery, but most birthing hospitals in Tennessee are actually not able to give it. Just there's some administration issues. And so it can be offered to infants. We offer it to infants starting at their newborn visit. We've been giving monoclonal antibodies actually against RSV to infants for the duration of my career, actually even including when I was in residency. So for about 20 years, we've been giving a monoclonal antibody against RSV to the highest risk patients, meaning patients who are either have chronic lung disease or are born prematurely. And now with the newer formulations, the cost has come down so much that we're able to give it to all infants. And it's very, very well tolerated.
Are there any safety concerns that have come up?
And the great thing is because it's not, when we're giving it to newborns, because it's a preformed antibody, it's giving the protection to the baby. It's not asking the baby to form its own protection. It doesn't stimulate any kind of immune response in the baby. And so you don't have to worry about fever or the other usual kind of side effects that we'll see with vaccines.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson. You just highlighted the fact that, again, to jump to what you had shared with us earlier in the podcast, there's not a treatment for RSV. So these are two very effective ways at preventing RSV-related hospitalizations. So either, as Dr. Thompson had discussed, either through maternal antibodies, which are developed from administration of Abrysvo or RSV to the mom during pregnancy between 32 and 36 weeks gestation during September to January, or after the fact with administering Beyfortus or one of the other monoclonal antibodies to babies early in life. So thank you. All right. Well, I know that we have really valued our time together, and we're going to wrap up this first section on maternal RSV vaccination. And we've all really enjoyed our time together. Thank you both, Dr. Carlson, Dr. Thompson, and Sarah Winders with the Tennessee Department of Health for just kind of setting the platform for what RSV looks like in Tennessee, as well as the options out there to prevent RSV hospitalizations within Tennessee. Our next segment, our next part of the podcast, we will talk with Bethany Sanders, a certified midwife at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, as well as Andrea Hewitt, a doula herself, as well as the owner of East Nashville Doulas, to kind of get more information on strategies that are out there to help talk to patients and families, as well as hear some myths that are out there. And then we're going to wrap up with Dr. Itoy Garrison, who is also a maternal fetal medicine specialist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, as well as the director of community engagement and population health at Vanderbilt as well. So we'll hear about some resources and more trusted information from her later. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org. That's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.